Should we pray for the dead?
Do you have to belong to a specific denomination to be saved?
Our guests answer these and more of your questions. I'm Rebecca Fanai.
And I'm Crystal Lewis. Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk. I had a teacher that used to say that there are no silly questions, right? And a lot of the times I remember being in class and the teacher would ask a question and people would answer, she'd explain everything. And right after, we always have that one person that would ask exactly the same thing. I don't know if you guys have had a similar experience. Have you ever had something like that happen?
I've had a similar experience like that. And another thing I want to say is that reminds me that there are no silly Bible questions as well.
Absolutely. And that's the same thing here in this program too, right?
Exactly. You can call or text us at 833-BIBLE-HD, or you can send it in via Facebook, Instagram, or on our website at hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. And don't forget to leave us an email so that we can contact you back. So, Rebecca, who do we have joining us today?
Today, we have Dr. Oleg Kostyuk with us. Dr. Oleg Kostyuk currently serves as the assistant to the president for mission at Advent Health University in Florida, where he also teaches courses in religion, specifically world religions and spirituality. He is an accomplished author and has also served as a minister and hosted other TV shows on Hope Channel. A fun fact about him is that he is an avid endurance sports enthusiast, having competed in ultra marathons and Ironman competitions. Welcome, Dr. Oleg. We are so glad to have you here today.
It is my joy to join you today.
Also joining us today is Dr. Galina Stelly. Dr. Galina Stelly currently serves as the Associate Director for Women's Ministry at the General Conference. She has previously served as a Research and Evaluation Manager, a Professor of Theology at Zyalski Theological Seminary in Russia, and Director of Missiology. She is a widely published author, and in her free time enjoys reading and writing, gardening, cooking, and assembling puzzles, also spending time with family. Welcome back, Dr. Stelly.
My pleasure.
Today, I wanted to share a verse with all of us, and the verse is found in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, and this is taken from NIV, and it says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." I don't know about you, Crystal, but many times I feel like you want to jump ahead on, you know, it's hard to make day-to-day plans, and we make plans thinking that it's going to go exactly how we want it. But a lot of the times God surprises me, and he has done so many times. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, I think there's also sort of a piece that comes with this text, and it's that, you know, as long as we walk with him, even if our plans don't seem to be aligning with, you know, our day-to-day lives or maybe our future, he's got it in control,
right?
And he's saying that he's going to take care of us. So I hope that this text today will give you the courage and encouragement that you need. Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for bringing us here and to dive deep into your word, to learn more about you and to answer these questions that a lot of people have sent in. We just ask for the Holy Spirit's presence as well. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, Crystal, why don't you go ahead and start us with our first question for today?
All right. So our first question, we received a voicemail from Sylvia. Let's listen.
Do we pray for the dead? The departed. We had a death in the family. Some pray for the dead, and some say it is wrong. Would you please answer me this?
Dr. Stelly, we have a voicemail here from Sylvia, and should we pray for the dead?
This is a very interesting question, and I am very sorry that Sylvia had this loss in her family, but this question actually bothers many people. Should we pray for the dead? Let us read from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. We will read verses 5 through 6. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. So we can say that death brings the end to all activities of a person. And actually, the Bible symbolically calls it a sleep. And we can remember, as Jesus said, he said that our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. So likewise, in a sleep, the dead cannot praise God, cannot think or cannot do anything. We can read Psalm 115, verse 17. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. We can also read Psalm 146, and we read verse 4. His breath goes forth, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. So we can say that, you know, you can pray for the dead, but there is no use of it, because dead are in the state of unconsciousness. They will remain in this state until resurrection. And so the best way to pray for people you love is when they are alive. So you can pray for those who are alive so that they can come into closer relationship with Jesus, so that they can accept him as a savior, personal savior, because then, even they die, their destiny will be in the hands of the Lord. And we can read Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them.
Thank you for that, Dr. Selly, and providing those verses that we can reference to help us with questions like this when it comes up again. And Dr. Kosiak, do you have anything else you would like to add to this?
Yeah, I really enjoyed Dr. Stelly's comment when she said it's what is critical is to pray for those who are alive. And in the moment of mourning, we would like to pray for each other. And this is what is extremely needed. So praying is necessary when we are in mourning. Why? Because it aligns our heart with the heart of God, who also suffers because you, his child and his daughter, and his son, you are suffering. So that's why that prayer, that it aligns us with God, and then it also helps us to see the pain and suffering of another person. So prayer is necessary, but prayer for the ones who are alive.
Thank you for sharing that, and for you both said something very common, to pray for each other when we are alive. Thank you both for sharing that.
And for our next question, we received an email from Kathy, and she asked, do you have to belong to a specific denomination to be saved? Now, I'm going to pass this to you, Dr. Oleg, first. This is a question I believe that a lot of us would be curious to get an answer from. What does the Bible tell us? Is there any insights we can get from the Bible?
Yeah, so that is a good question, because you see, it's just when we open the Bible, there is not even one denomination is mentioned. None. So just no denominations in the Bible. So one clear line that goes through the scripture is just those who are the followers of Christ, or followers of the way first and then Christians later. In Antioch, they were called Christians. So when we open John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, these are very familiar verses. So let's read John 3:16 and then the following verse, verse 17. This is what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn or to judge the world, but to save the world through him. So one element that is critical to understand in this verse, number one, how does God express his love towards humanity? Is he dying himself, or is he sending his Son? So you see, this verse is very clear. God sent his Son. And thinking about my child, I have two daughters. Like, Rebecca, do you think I will willingly give my daughter to be sacrificed for you or for Crystal or for anybody else in the studio or elsewhere who are watching this program?
Very slim chance.
Honestly, I will not. I will not, because it's just your life is valuable to me, but the life of my daughter is more valuable. So what we see in John 3:16, we see the magnitude of love that is so huge that God says, you know what? I'm willing to give my own son so that all of you could live. So that is one very critical element. So when we talk about denominations, unfortunately, God sometimes just then he also cries and says, guys, like, can you just be the followers of Christ to the fullest? Live according to his standards, his values. Fulfill the commands of Jesus Christ. This is what he wants. Because he wants us to live to the fullest according to John chapter 10, verse 10. And then final verse. I would like us to read John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Because it's the continuation of the same message that we just read in John chapter 3. Verse 31 reads, now is the time for judgment on this world. So now we see that the judgment, this is what the judgment is. The prince of this world, meaning Satan, will be driven out. No more sorrow, no more pain. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. So once again, what we see that Jesus is reemphasizing this idea of inclusion that is so vast that we will be surprised. Mm. So this is what I want you to keep in mind. The love of God is so incredibly important and so incredibly vast, like an ocean. And we will be surprised to see how many people we will see to resurrected and being in his kingdom forever.
Mm. Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you for explaining all of that. Dr. Steli, I was wondering if you wanted to add anything to the question that was asked by Kathy here.
I would like to say yes. You know, the salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. And we have beautiful verse in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and I read from New International Version. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. So we can say that we cannot be saved by any denomination. So we cannot say be saved by works, because we are saved only through the faith in Jesus Christ. But I also understand that the person asks this question because maybe looking at different denominations, a person would like to make a choice. And the advice is that you can check out what denominations teach. And so you can also look at the Bible and compare which denomination is based on the biblical teachings and make really a choice and join the denomination that follow Jesus' commandments.
Thank you, Dr. Steli. I couldn't agree more. I think Jesus, you know, Crystal, really, when he came, brought people to him first, and then that brought the change in their lives as well. So I hope that everyone listening, we know that the first, the most important thing that Dr. Oleg mentioned is to know that Jesus, that God loves us so much, and that he died for us so that we can all be saved.
Amen. Amen. Next question?
Yes.
Let's get into our next question. We received a voicemail, so let's listen.
So what I want to know is, Jesus sent all of his disciples to go get food. So how is it we have the story of the woman at the well in the Bible?
Dr. Steli, we have an interesting question here. We might need some clarification in. So what does the Bible have to say, or clarification we could receive from the Bible concerning this question?
Yeah, thank you so much. You know, actually, it took me some time to think what was behind the question. And then I understood that behind the question was a thought. If disciples were outside, you know, from this place, they were not present at the well, how did they know what happened and how John really wrote the story about woman at the well and what happened, what kind of conversation happened at the well? So, but let us first read from John chapter 4, and we will read 7 through 8 and 27 through 34 and the verse 39. So I am reading from English Standard Version. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "What are you talking with her?" And then, so the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I have ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did," she said. So it is very interesting that this passage that we have just read showed us that when woman left for the city, there was a conversation between Jesus and disciples. They wanted to give him some food, but he explained them that something happened when they were absent. So I suppose that he told him a little bit of the story, what happened between him and women, what kind of conversation was there. And then I also think that because they stayed for about 2 days in this place, talking with people and also sharing the good news with them, I think the disciples also heard this story several times, probably from this lady or maybe from others who also told it to each other and shared it, you know, what happened actually at the well. And I also think that maybe after that, they also asked Jesus some questions, and Jesus clarified and explained them and maybe added some details. That's why John was able to write this story as we read it now in chapter 4.
Thank you, Dr. Stelly, for clarifying that, because I can understand this could be a little confusing, but you've clarified that and you've gave us some good reference points that we can use as well. Thank you for that.
We have to go to break, but before we do, a reminder to check out the many studies offered at hope.study. For example, God has blessed us with many gifts, so you can learn more in the study, A Gift from Eden. Hope Channel has so much more to offer online.
If you would like to receive a physical study guide, we also have free Bible study guides we can mail to you in North America. Call and leave us your address, and we will get those out to you. We're going to take a quick break now, but we'll be right back, so don't go away.
Conversation between Jesus and disciples. They wanted to give him some.
Welcome back to Bible Help Desk. Remember, you can call or text us your questions at 833-BIBLE-HD or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. Then watch to see if we answer your questions.
Our guests answering your questions today is Dr. Oleg and Dr. Stelly.
For our next question, we received a voicemail from Barbara. Let's take a listen.
What day is the Sabbath on? A Sunday or a Saturday? And where can I find the scriptures or the passage in the Bible where it says that at?
Thank you, Barbara, for sending in the question. Dr. Oleg, I'm going to pass this to you first. I love that Barbara asked us, where in the Bible? So where in the Bible can we find, and does the Bible clarify the Sabbath day, Sunday or Saturday?
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Barbara. So let's go back to the very beginning. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So this is the creation story, the great creation story in the Bible. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God has finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So, and that was the establishment of the Sabbath. So the seventh day. So that is critical. So we need to remember that the Sabbath is the seventh day. So now what is the seventh day in our US calendar?
Saturday. We start with Sunday on the
Saturday.
First day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that Rebecca? Yeah, absolutely. So that is Saturday. And what is interesting that in Jewish tradition, the word for Saturday is Shabbat, which means also to have rest, to be in rest. What is the word for Saturday in Spanish? Does anybody speak Spanish?
Sabbath.
Yeah, Feliz Sabado. Happy Sabbath. Sabado. Once again, the same concept. Shabbat, Sabbath, Sabbath. So the same applies to even the English word Saturday, which is Saturday, which is also Shabbat, Sabbath, Saturday. So what we see is just, so the 7 days, the Sabbath, and God rested on the 7 day, which is the Sabbath. And that's why we read in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8, there is a commandment that Jesus says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is Shabbat or Sabbath to the Lord your God. So that is basically what I want us to keep in mind. So the seventh day is the Sabbath, which is Saturday. So from the foundation of the world, the world is created in such a way that we need to rest on Saturday. And then the first day will be Sunday.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that answer, Dr. Oleg. I think you gave us a very succinct and clear answer. I'm just wondering, Dr. Shteli, if you wanted to add another insight?
I just wanted to say that in some cultures, people count the days differently. They start from Monday as the first day, from the first working day. And so when they come to Sabbath, it's like not the seventh, but sixth. But, you know, when you go to the Bible, it is very clear that the Bible tells us that the seventh day is the Sabbath, Saturday. And I was also amazed when I read one study where a person actually studied different languages and has found that in many languages, the main root was preserved, that you can recognize the word Sabbath, Shabbat, Sobota, and I mean the other languages also very close to the pronunciation that we can understand, that the languages and cultures preserve even the name of this day, Sabbath. I think it is also interesting to mention that Jesus also kept the seventh day, Sabbath. And we can read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, we will read verse 16. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. So we know that Jesus, this is the first century, so he, as his custom, he kept this seventh day. So we can be convinced that he considered that Saturday or Sabbath was the seventh day, because he kept the commandment, the fourth commandment from the Ten Commandments.
Wow, that is very interesting. I love that you gave us another fun fact, another insight to it. Thank you both for answering the question.
Our next question, we received a text from Jerry. And the question is, will husbands and wives on earth share a home in heaven and the new earth? We have an interesting question here, Dr. Oleg. What does the Bible have to say concerning this?
Yeah, it probably depends on whether you want to spend the rest of eternity with your husband or wife in one home or not. So, of course, but it's just a fun, interesting fact. But of course not. So if you look at, let's look at John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. The Bible is not very clear about whether, what will be happening. It doesn't give a very clear answer. But there are some hints. Very interesting hints. So John 14, verses 2 and 3. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So in this verse, what is very interesting, that traditionally for Christians would usually translate that verse as, my Father's house has many mansions. This is what you probably have heard. Rebecca, Crystal, yeah. Have you heard anything of that nature? Mm-hmm. So, But what is interesting here that Jesus says, actually, in my Father's house, there's many rooms. So that is a very interesting and very important element, because you see, heaven, the reality of heaven is possible when we all start living in the very close community together. Communion, community. And then, so that is, so rooms, so probably not houses, but if you share, you probably will share a room. So that is one element, one indication. So you will share a room. Of course, there will be some sort of family, but we don't know exactly, because we all are family. We all will be family. And then there is another very interesting verse, which is in Matthew chapter 22, verses 29 and 30. This is what it says. So there's a discussion, Sadducees and Pharisees, they're asking questions. Jesus is asked by Pharisees and Sadducees. And then Jesus replied, "You're in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven in complete community or complete union." So how will it be? We could probably speculate. But the reality is there is no very clear indication of how it can happen. And there is a beautiful verse that describes that mystery so well. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9. "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him." So we need to keep in mind that God has prepared something absolutely incredible for all families all over the world.
Thank you for that, Dr. Oleg, for adding this verse. It's an important verse that we can definitely refer back to. And Dr. Stelly, we thank you both for being here. Dr. Oleg, Dr. Stelly, we hope that you guys can join us again soon. Thank you.
And thank you for watching and sending in your questions. Don't forget to check out our website and our YouTube account for video on-demand questions and answers from Bible Help Desk. And you can send in your questions by texting us or calling and leaving voicemail or messaging us on our Facebook or Instagram pages.
Thank you again for watching. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.